Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and today we begin the final broadcast week of the year 2021, and as well the final broadcast week forever for this ministry that we've called Basic Gospel. For all you regular listeners, you know and understand what I'm speaking of. We're speaking, of course, of the uniting of Basic Gospel with the Andrew Farley ministry called The Grace Message, and that, of course, will be effective beginning next week. But for today and for this week, Bob Christopher has prepared a special series that I know is going to be a blessing into your life. So welcome, everybody. And Bob, I know for years you've struck the chord that we are New Covenant here at Basic Gospel, and I suspect that has not changed.
That's exactly right. We are New Covenant, and today we want to look at the New Covenant. I think it's so appropriate. If you were to ask me what are the things that you would want every Christian to know, what I'm going to be talking about this week answers that question. And we're going to begin with the New Covenant, because in this New Covenant, we can find rest for our souls. And that's what people are desperately searching for. That's what people desperately want in their lives. They just want some rest and peace for their souls. Well, you can't find it out there in the world. You can't work for it. There's no way to get that peace, that rest, apart from the finished work of Jesus Christ and the new covenant that we live in today. So let's dive in and look at the new covenant, what the Word of God has to say about this important truth, this important covenant that we're a part of as believers in Christ. And I'm going to begin way back in the Old Testament, Bob, in Jeremiah 31, and there we see a prophecy about this new covenant. And God told Jeremiah to say to the people this: "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." Now, they were familiar with the Mosaic covenant, with the covenant of law that was instituted at Mount Sinai, and that wasn't working so well for them. They couldn't live up to commandment number one of that particular covenant, and they suffered consequences as a result. They were continually bowing the knee to foreign gods, and as a result, were placed in bondage to those nations that were promoting those particular gods. Yeah. So God said, hey, there's going to be a time when a new covenant is going to be made with you, and it's not going to be like that old covenant. Well, we're going to fast forward many years, and we're going to see Jesus at the very end of his life gathered together with his disciples, about to partake in the Lord's Supper, or that Passover feast. And as he does, he did this in the same way. After the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." So he was saying, in essence, in raising that cup and making that statement, that the time that Jeremiah talked about is now. This new covenant is about to go into effect. Now, where did that new covenant go into effect? Where did this place of change happen? At the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's important, when Jesus stood up with his disciples there before the crucifixion, he's saying, hey, this is the cup of the new covenant. This doesn't relate to the birth of Jesus. This relates to the death of Jesus. So Jesus' blood is what ushered in this new covenant, this covenant that was prophesied by Jeremiah himself. Now, we see in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16 through 17, this particular statement: "In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living." So for a will, for a covenant to go into effect, blood had to be shed.
Sure.
That was the case for the Old Testament when that covenant was ratified. Moses sprinkled blood on almost everything.
Yeah.
And here, for this new covenant to be ratified, it took the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the one who made this will, who made this covenant, and it went into effect the moment he died. So the cross is a significant place as far as our salvation is concerned. It's the place where Jesus died for our sins. But even more so, it's the place where he ushered in this new covenant in which we live today. Now, for him to do that, for him to usher in this new covenant, he had to fulfill or complete the old covenant. And that's what his shed blood is all about. Through his shed blood, he took away our sins. He fulfilled the requirements of the law of sin and death so that we could be saved by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So in Hebrews 10, he talks about the sacrifices of the old covenant, and he says this, that they are a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Those sacrifices were made year in and year out, day in and day out, but they could never take away sins. They simply covered the sins, and that was good news, but as soon as that sacrifice was complete and the people went out and began to sin again, then those were counted against them until the next sacrifice could be made. So those sacrifices of the old covenant could never take away sins, but Jesus, his sacrifice, took away our sins once and for all. And he says, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first, that's the old covenant, in order to establish the second, that's the new covenant. And by that will, we have been made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Yeah. So under that old covenant, those sacrifices could never set the people apart, could never make them holy. But here, the blood of Jesus makes us holy once and for all. Now, this is such good news. This is such good news that we see in Hebrews 10:17, this is kind of the conclusion of what Jesus accomplished through his death on the cross, through his shed blood. He says, then he adds, "I will remember their sins and lawless deeds no more. And where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin." So Jesus at the cross, he said, this is the time for this new covenant to go into effect. He shed his blood. In shedding his blood, he ushered in this new covenant. And why could he do that? Because he fulfilled the old. He took away our sins once and for all. And in this new covenant, God remembers our sins no more. So what are the takeaways that we need at this point? Well, first, we have to realize that a new covenant is in effect, that this new covenant is better than the old in every way, shape, or form, and this new covenant has made the old obsolete. So we live in a new covenant. The second thing that we need to know is that Jesus took away our sins once and for all. So everything that needed to be done as far as your sins were concerned, as far as my sins were concerned, Jesus handled. He completed the work. That's why he cried out at the cross, "It is finished." Why? Because he had taken away our sins, removed them from us, and sent them away as far as the east is from the west. And in this new covenant, there's no longer any sacrifice needed for sin. And here's the good news. God remembers your sins and lawless deeds no more.
No more. Absolutely. Well, friends, it's our Monday edition of Basic Gospel. As Bob Christopher is presenting a clear-eyed view of the new covenant. Bob will be back in just a moment. But first, as we've been discussing for many months now, this Friday, December 31st, will mark the end of operations under the banner of Basic Gospel as this ministry unites with the Andrew Farley ministry called The Grace Message. And, of course, Bob and I and our staff are all excited to see where God takes this new unified ministry under Andrew's direction. Now, still, that leaves Basic Gospel responsible for expenses of being here on the air and bringing this program to you in recent days and for this final week of the broadcast, of course. So we ask you to keep up your support to help clear the bills for the final rendering. So in doing so, helping us to make that happen is going to be a tremendous blessing to you, as it is here at Basic Gospel. Also, you can make your gift when you click donate at basicgospel.net. That's the regular site to make your contribution. Donate at basicgospel.net. We so appreciate your support, friends, and thank God for each one of you who has been so faithful through the months and years to support Basic Gospel. Thank you. Now back to Bob Christopher as we continue in this most exciting message the world will ever hear, the new covenant.
Yes, indeed. So as I was saying before the break, we live in the new covenant. That's the covenant that we live in. We're not old covenant believers. We're new covenant believers. And the writer of Hebrews really makes this clear. The former regulation is set aside. So that old covenant has been set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. But a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. Now in Hebrews 8:13, he says, by calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. So we have to recognize that that old covenant had a purpose, but that purpose was not to perfect us, not to set us apart, not to give us life. It didn't have the power to do that. It simply had the power to show us our spiritual need, our spiritual condition, and to point us forward to Jesus. And that's exactly what the prophets of old were doing. They were taking that old covenant and they were using it to point people forward to the time when this new covenant would go into effect. Yeah. Now that this new covenant is here, we need to realize that God has set aside that former regulation. He has made that old covenant obsolete. So we need to make a declaration that we are new covenant believers. Mm-hmm. Now, if we need more proof about this, we have to look at what the Word of God says about that old covenant. And Paul was very clear that the old covenant was a ministry of death and a ministry of condemnation. What is the end of the law? It is death. Why? Because the law gives us the knowledge of sin, and we know from way back in the very beginning of Genesis that the wages of sin is death. Yeah. So for the law to be fulfilled, for the law to be completed, then punishment has to follow the condemnation. Well, here's the good news. Christ died, and we died in Christ. So the righteous requirements of the law have been met in us. Now, this new covenant is a covenant of life. So the old covenant was a covenant of death. This new covenant is a covenant of life. That's exactly what Paul said, that God had made him competent as a minister of the new covenant, not of the old, not of the letter. And here's why, because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So this new covenant is a ministry of life. And guess what? You were made alive in Christ. That's the good news. So now you can experience his life to the full. And in this new covenant, we have some promises to show us what this life looks like. So the first one is this, that God writes his laws in our hearts and in our minds. So we see that this life starts from within. It's an inside-out life. So it's not external. It's not something that we're trying to mimic or to live up to as far like the law. This is something that becomes us. It becomes who we are as believers in Christ. So God writes his laws of faith, hope, and love in our hearts and our minds. He gives us the assurance that we truly are his people, that we belong to him. It's a covenant all about relationship. We know the Lord from the least of us to the greatest, and that's a personal, heartfelt knowledge. And then all of that is built upon the foundation of the fact that God remembers our sins no more. He forgives them and remembers them no more. So we are led internally by the Spirit. We can live out who we are with confidence and assurance, knowing that we are a part of the family of God. And we can rejoice day in and day out that we know that God is love,
yeah,
and that we've experienced that love firsthand. So that's what this new covenant is all about. It is a covenant of life. But within this new covenant, within this covenant of life, there's something that we experience that all of us long for, and that is rest.
Yes.
When you look at the Word of God, you see that man started their relationship with God from a place of rest. So God created Adam and Eve on day six. On day seven, he rested. And so Adam and Eve began their relationship with God from that place of rest. And they enjoyed that for a time in the Garden of Eden. But then sin entered the picture. Satan, the serpent, stood at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he deceived Eve. And that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, really it was a tree of death,
yeah,
became desirous to her. And she ate, and then Adam ate, and they died. And as soon as they died, their souls became restless. And they've passed on that restlessness to each and every one of us. And we've tried to calm the soul. We've tried to bring peace to our hearts through all sorts of things and all sorts of ways. But in the end, we're still restless until we find our rest in Jesus Christ. So the new covenant has this invitation, this offer. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So a lot of times we know this restlessness comes from our estrangement with God, this chasm that stood between us and God. There was a restlessness there, knowing that at any time we could experience his punishment or something bad was going to befall us because of our evil deeds. So there was this internal turmoil, this internal restlessness. And we tried through all kinds of religious works, empty works, dead works is what the Word of God has to say, to bridge that gap, to make us acceptable somehow, some way in the sight of God. But when we realize that God sent Jesus to do the work on our behalf, to take away our sins once and for all, to remove the barrier, then we start to rest from those old dead religious works. And our souls start to calm down, and we gain that assurance of salvation. Bob, you know, the definition of peace in the Word of God, I love this word. It's always attached to grace.
Yeah.
It's grace and peace. Peace is not a standalone word. It's not something that we can find outside of the grace of God. So it's the result of God's work, God's favor shown to us, expressed to us in the person and work of Jesus. It is the tranquil state of the soul assured of its salvation. That's what the peace of God is all about.
Yeah.
A soul at rest, tranquil, because it is assured of its salvation. That's what the finished work of Jesus Christ does. It calms the soul. Why? Because it gives us assurance of salvation. Now, in Hebrews 4:3, it says, "For we who have believed enter that rest."
Yeah.
How do we experience rest? It is always by grace through faith. We enter God's rest through faith. So God poured out his grace, his favor on us in Jesus, in the fact that Jesus took away our sins once and for all. He took away every single one of them. He died in our place. He finished the work. When we believe, then there's nothing more that we need to do. And that's what we're recognizing, that there's nothing more that we need to do except simply receive the life of this new covenant.
Yeah.
And when we do, our souls are put to rest, and we experience that eternal Sabbath rest through faith in Jesus Christ. Talk about good news. If you are looking to experience peace in your life, if you are looking to find rest for your soul, it is found in Jesus. and his finished work. I'm encouraging you today, if you are struggling in this area, rest in the finished work of Christ. Recognize that Jesus died for all of your sins, not just some of them, but every single one of them. He removed those sins from you. He bore those sins in his body. He died in your place, and then he sent those sins away from you as far as the east is from the west. So as Paul wrote in the book of Colossians, he's made you alive together with Christ. He forgave all of your sins. Folks, that means all. That means every single one of them. So rest in that finished work.
Embedded in what you just taught, Bob, did I hear a new encapsulated description of the grace of God? It's God, the completion of God's work on our behalf.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what God's favor is all about.
Right.
He is showing us how much he loves us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more to be done.
Yeah.
And when we rest in that, then we're experiencing the favor of God. Mm-hmm. A soul at rest is one who is experiencing the favor of God in full measure.
Yeah.
Knowing that everything's been done, everything is complete. It's a once and done reality. So what does this new covenant say? Rejoice, rest, take a deep breath, and experience life to the full.
Yeah.
Again, that's what this new covenant is all about. It is a covenant of life, Christ's life in you.
Yeah.
And his finished work on the cross made it all possible.
Absolutely. It's the new covenant, and what a message it is, Bob. Thank you for those thoughts. We'll come back to you in just a moment. But before we end the broadcast today, I've reminded our friends so many times recently of the incredible archive of videos that you have posted on YouTube. And when things begin to change next week, where will listeners go to access this archive that you've created?
Well, we'll still have them up. I'm going to have a website, bobchristopher.net, that is available, that will have many of these resources. I encourage you to check that out. Also, the Grace Message, thegracemessage.org, andrewfarley.org. We'll have all kinds of answers there that he's done, that he's put together. So you're going to continue to receive the daily diet of truth, the daily strengthening of your heart by the grace of God, the encouragement of and the building up that only the gospel can bring.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Give us your closing thoughts on the new covenant today.
Well, as I said, if every believer knew that they lived in the new covenant, it would just make life so much easier for everyone. We get messed up when we try to mix the old with the new. They're not to be mixed. They're like oil and water.
Sure.
The old had a purpose. Once that purpose was fulfilled, satisfied, that old was set aside. Why? To give way to the new, something that is better, something that has better promises, something that has a better hope for each and every one of us. And that is Jesus himself. So when we think about the new covenant, we need to think of it in terms of Jesus, who he is, and what he's accomplished through his finished work on the cross. So rejoice, you are a new covenant believer. You live in this new covenant led by the Spirit so that you can enjoy his life, Christ's life, to the full.
And that kind of bridges to what you're going to be talking about tomorrow. You are forgiven, so that's going to be fun as well.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Bob, thanks for this exciting look at the grace of God in Jesus Christ as viewed through the new covenant. And as we close today, friends, once again, we hope you'll take the opportunity to visit basicgospel.net and click donate to help us make sure we conclude all things with the bills paid. Again, that's basicgospel.net, and may God continue to bless you as you do so. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to come on back tomorrow for Basic Gospel, when the good news just keeps on coming as Bob will share the incredibly good news, the truth that you are forgiven. That's tomorrow on Basic Gospel, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.